Our in-depth coverage of terror on Toronto streets continues on News Talk 1010.
Horrific events yesterday that have resulted in less than an hour ago in 25-year-old Alec Manazian charged with 10 counts of first-degree murder, 13 counts of attempted murder, held in custody, will appear in court next on May the 10th. I believe Siobhan Morris, who was in the courthouse, told us that will be a video appearance in court. Joining me now to talk about some of the fallout for various people in this story, registered psychologist Dr. Oren Amate, docamate.com. Doctor, good morning.
Good morning, Jerry.
Of course, there's all kinds of speculation going on about the mental condition of an individual who would do this. You don't know him. You didn't diagnose him. I don't believe you've ever met him.
No.
Okay. Does it necessarily follow that you would have to be mentally ill on some level to do something like this?
Definitely not. People are always looking for explanations or answers to senseless events like this. And we do know that somebody can be so possessed by an ideology or so angry at the world or at certain people that they can do these kinds of things.
Well, one of the things that was a curious phrase, I think, to a lot of us that apparently he had put on a Facebook page, as he had a lot of trouble with women, apparently, and he talked about involuntary celibacy. Could somebody get so frustrated and angry about their lack of social and relational success that they could just snap, so to speak?
Yeah, and there were a few cases in the States in the last couple of years where that did happen, where these people went on these rampages, and they did say that it was because of their lack of success with women. So they unfortunately, instead of looking at themselves and seeing what they could improve, they blamed women, and B, took their anger out on helpless or innocent people.
Have you heard that phrase before, involuntary celibacy?
Only recently, because of this story. I've heard it before, but I didn't know there was an actual group that attracts people with the same issue.
All right. Here are some of the people who were witnesses. They could almost think of themselves, I guess, as survivors.
I ran after and I said, "Oh my gosh, that guy can't stop. He can't stop." And there was another runner coming towards me. And he goes, "Yes, he can. He just stopped at the stop sign and took a left." So I realized then that it wasn't that his truck couldn't stop.
The driver just appeared to be like, wide eyes. He looked like, very, very angry.
Every individual deals with situations differently based on their own makeup, I guess, doctor. But will some of these people have some issues in processing everything that they saw, do you think?
Statistically speaking, there's a pretty good chance that a certain proportion could be 25, 40, even up to 60% of the people who saw what happened could suffer from post-traumatic stress disorder. The way to combat that would be to get some help right away. It doesn't have to be professional. As long as they can talk it out with somebody they trust, as long as they can make sure that they don't distort what they see, because the major distortions are a sense of helplessness, which is not necessarily a distortion, that is actually often the case, but B, that helplessness leads them to blame themselves. I should have done this. I could have done that. Why didn't I do more? And that's oftentimes where people can develop, post-traumatic symptoms.
Well, what about just the horror of seeing it happen?
Well, that too. I mean, that's part of the helplessness as well. And when you're exposed to such terror or tragedy, that can cause post-traumatic stress, but it doesn't have to. Again, if people are able to talk about it and are able to process it, it doesn't 100% predict that they will experience the symptoms.
They have that phrase, get back on the horse. I think about it when I had my motorcycle accident. I got right back on the motorcycle as soon as I could. The way I'm trying to tie this in, is it important for people, if they've witnessed some traumatic thing like this, to not sit around, to talk to people, to do something?
Anything that gives them a sense of some kind of control. It shouldn't be an illusion. It should be actual control. So yes, if that means talking to people, if it means going on the sidewalk, if you feel prepared to do so, that if it means socializing, that's fine. Everyone's different, so nobody should feel they have to, say, okay, I'm going right back to the scene of the crime to make sure that I don't suffer these symptoms. So everyone's different, but yes, if it's possible, get back on the horse. Don't allow these events to overwhelm you and take over your life. Easier said than done, unfortunately.
How do you think that some of the emergency responders will react over time?
Let's hope they have proper supports at work. I've worked with a number of emergency responders. Most of them learn either to compartmentalize. I mean, it's just part of the job. They see it all the time. They have to live with it. Others, unfortunately, self-medicate through drugs or alcohol or other self-destructive behaviors. Others do go into therapy to talk it out. And some just kind of, you know, they think they're compartmentalizing, but they're really not. They're bottling it up. And unfortunately, it does take its toll.
Do you think it will take any kind of a toll on people who actually literally weren't there, but they're following the news? It's in their city?
It can. People... Every day, all day, every day, we, all of us, are at risk of having our lives snuffed out, just like that. It could be an asteroid, you know, that we have no control over. Yet we have this unconscious process where we kind of push that fear of death. We're the only ones, on the planet who know of our imminent demise or our eventual demise, sorry. So we always try to push that aside. When events like this kind of put this in our face, and it's so random, and it just kind of shows that, yes, anybody at any time could lose their life. Some people, the walls fall down, and they feel so much anxiety over the fact that, yeah, I could be next, or a loved one could be next, even if it had nothing to do with them, if they were nowhere near the incident, even if they were in a different country, it can make them, if they're very sensitive, it can make them have these fears. So, yeah, I think some people will be affected well beyond what we would expect.
Dr. Oren Amate, docamate.com. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Jerry.